One God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. There's a comedian named John Crist who makes funny Christian videos that you can find on YouTube. And most of them are satirical in nature, and like good satire, they all contain at least a little bit, if not a lot, of truth. And he recently did a series called Church Hunters, which was a spoof off of the TV show House Hunters. And these short videos chronicle a young Christian couple as they go out and try to find their perfect church. In each episode, the couple looks at a church and evaluates how it may or may not meet their own individual personal needs. In one episode, they think that they've finally found the perfect church, but then they discover that while the church has many service times on Sunday mornings, they don't have one at 2:15 in the afternoon, and that's really what would work best for them. So they decide that they need to keep looking. Now, it all may seem pretty funny, but sadly, it's more true than most of us would want to admit. In our consumer-driven, narcissistic culture, even the church has become a commodity which needs to be bought and sold. And pastors and church boards have bought into this and are constantly looking for the latest gimmick or strategy to bring in new customers. I once had a man who had been attending my church for a number of years ask me, "What is it that I ought to expect from my church?" And he obviously felt that his needs weren't being met, that he wasn't getting his money's worth from the organization. And so I thought about it for a couple seconds, and I answered him, "At church, you should expect to find a place to serve." In our gospel lesson today, we read about the resurrected Jesus appearing to his disciples. And after greeting them with the phrase, "Peace be with you," he gives them a charge. He tells them, "As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." He then breathes on them and tells them to receive the Holy Spirit. Now, oftentimes we want to get hung up on what he says next about forgiving sins and retaining sins, but I think the more important message is the one that came first. So what does it mean to be sent by Christ? And what is the work of the Holy Spirit in this regard? And this is what I'd like to look at this morning. The first thing we need to do is we need to understand the difference between a disciple and an apostle. We often use those terms interchangeably, but they're actually two very different things. A disciple is one who learns. In Jesus' day, most rabbis had disciples who followed them around, who sat at their feet and learned what they had to say. And so a disciple is, in essence, a student. An apostle, on the other hand, is one who is sent out. Once a disciple had learned enough from their master, they would then take that wisdom and they would carry it out and they would teach it to others. And so being a disciple was never supposed to be a long-term goal. Instead, it was a transitional phase for someone as they moved towards being an apostle. Now, when I was in my senior year of seminary, I was pretty infamous around campus for knowing exactly how many days we had until graduation. I was done with seminary. I couldn't wait to get out of there and to get into the church and start doing ministry. I really wanted to make that transition from disciple to apostle. But it kind of surprised me that not everyone in my seminary class was quite so eager to do that. We've probably all known people who are professional students who have figured out how to cram 4 years of education into 8 or 12 or 13 years. I knew a guy at the University of Colorado when I was an undergraduate who changed his major every semester. The last thing in the world that he wanted was to graduate and to go out into the real world. The thing is, when we're disciples, we're free to concentrate on ourselves. It's all about me and getting the information and learning and developing as a person. But when we become apostles, we're forced to shift our attention to others. So is it any wonder that the Christian church today has many disciples, but very few apostles? We come to church to be fed, but perhaps more importantly, we need to come so that we can feed others. And to do this, we need to start by breaking out of our consumer mentality. Now imagine that you go to a restaurant with your family, and you sit down together and you have a really nice meal. And then towards the end of the meal, while you're sitting and relaxing with a cup of coffee and maybe some creme brulee, you see the manager approaching you. And he comes up to you and he says, "Thank you for coming to my restaurant tonight." It's an Italian restaurant. And he says, "You are so faithful. You're wonderful customers. You come every week. I've got something very special for you today. Once you're done with your creme brulee, you come into the back. I'm going to let you wash the dishes and mop the floor." Chances are you probably would never go back to that restaurant again, would you? Because when we go out to eat, our expectation is we're going somewhere and we are going to be served. But the opposite is true in the church. We should come here not simply to be consumers, but also to be contributors. One of the things that I've always loved about Anglicanism is that it is by nature participatory. We don't have a stage up here. We don't have a congregation out there. We don't put on a show for you up in front so that you can sit back and enjoy it and sip your coffee. When we worship together, everyone contributes. We are all ministers of the church by virtue of our baptism. But the question becomes, do we all have a ministry? Now, most volunteer organizations tend to follow the 20-80 rule, which means that 20% of the people do 80% of the work. And the church, by and large, as an organization, is no different. But perhaps All Saints can buck that trend, so to speak. Over the past few weeks, I've been trying to get a sense of what goes on here at All Saints on Sunday mornings, and it seems to me that while we have many faithful and very committed volunteers, we have plenty of room for more people to join in. So if you're already serving on Sunday mornings, I thank you for that. We certainly couldn't do this without our volunteers. But if you're not serving already, I would ask you to take some time and pray about where God might be calling you to serve at All Saints. Now perhaps you'd like to sing in the choir, or be an usher or a lector, or a chalice minister. Then again, maybe the thought of being up in front of people terrifies you, and that's okay. We've got behind-the-scenes things that you can do as well. You could be a member of the Altar Guild, or help out with the hospitality. Or you could even be a saint and feel called to work with children or teenagers. The Holy Spirit may even be calling you to do something that we don't even have a ministry for yet. But just because we don't have something doesn't mean we don't have a need. It simply means we haven't found a leader for that ministry. Now I realize that we have a lot of different people who are here that are at different points in their own journey with Christ. Some of you are perhaps new Christians, and you need time to be a disciple before you can be an apostle. I know that we have folks who are still new to Anglicanism and trying to figure out everything that it is that we do. I know that there are folks who simply got burned out serving at their last church and need a time of healing before they start participating again. Over this past week, I've talked with a number of people, and I found out that we actually had a ministry fair a while ago, and people signed up for ministries but were never called and never contacted. And for that, I sincerely apologize, and I promise you, we are going to make this right. If you are feeling God's call to serve here at church, come and talk to me or talk to Nathaniel, and we will figure out a place for you to serve. We will identify a need that we are sure that you can meet. Being a Christian is not a spectator sport. It demands our participation. And when we participate in the body, it has a number of benefits. For starters, it helps the church as an organization to run smoothly and efficiently. As they say, many hands make light work. When we allow ourselves to fall into that 20-80 trap, we wind up burning out our volunteers, and as a result, everything in the church begins to suffer. At All Saints, we want to offer nothing less than our absolute best to God, and that can only happen when everyone is participating and chipping in. However, there are benefits that go beyond the pragmatic. Our culture is becoming more and more individualistic. We are constantly putting ourselves first and seeking to have our own needs met. But when we serve at church, it helps us to shift that focus. Suddenly, we start thinking about others rather than ourselves. We become more aware of the needs of our fellow human beings, and we start looking for ways to edify them rather than simply promoting ourselves. Now, in marriage counseling, couples will often come and they want to tell me all about the things that their spouse is not doing for them. But if you're simply looking to have your needs met in a marriage, your marriage is going to fail. However, when we seek to meet the needs of our spouse rather than our own needs, it is only then that we find that our needs are met as a result. And the same is true in the church. When we will only truly be fed when we seek to feed others first. We will never truly be served until we seek to serve others first. But the real importance here is not just what goes on here on Sunday mornings, because what we do at All Saints is meaningless if it simply stays within these walls. The whole point of developing a heart for service here is so that we can take it out into the world. That is what it means to be an apostle. We are called in so that we might be sent out. The Holy Spirit doesn't empower us simply for a private, personal experience. He empowers us for ministry here, and then He calls us to take it out into the world, to shine the light of Christ into the darkness. So if you've not already done so, I pray that you might take Jesus' words to heart. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. And then go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen.